The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
A pleasant good day to you. Thank you for joining us on Grace in Focus once again, as today we have a question and an answer about saving faith. How should you define biblically the phrase, belief in Jesus? Bob Wilkins, Steve Elkins, and Ken Yates answer this question in just a moment. In the meantime, I want to invite you to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Where you will find an abundance of resources, books, videos, blogs, articles about all the things that we talk about here on Grace in Focus. You will also find out about the Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2023 coming up in May 22nd through 25th. It's just a little more than a couple of months away, and we want you to come and be with us for it. It happens in Denton, Texas at a beautiful camp, Camp Copus, right there on the lake, the shoreline of the lake. And it'll be a great opportunity to learn, to fellowship, to recreate all around the central theme of vital free grace issues. Won't you come and be with us? Find out information at faithalone.org. Now for today's question and answer and discussion, here are Bob Wilkins, Steve Elkins, and Ken Yates.
And this is from Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Alex says, I have recently started reading some of G.S. works, but I've been wondering, how do you define the phrase faith in Jesus? What is the biblical definition of faith? What would it mean to believe a person, Jesus, is true? Just believe he existed, or that everything he said was 100% true? And are there any GES works that address these issues?
Yes, we have quite a few articles at faithalone.org on faith, on saving faith. We have quite a few books. My book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, has a chapter on faith. My first book, Confident in Christ, has a good discussion, I think, of faith. Zane Hodges has a chapter called what is that? Is that an absolutely free?
Yeah, it's interesting. He says the Greek word for believe, guess what? Means believe.
If you're a Greek scholar, you'll see that faith is faith, right?
Faith is faith. So in terms of what faith is in the Bible, faith is always being persuaded or convinced something is true. So what is faith in Jesus? Well, that's a slightly different question. So it goes into what he goes on to say, because he talks about, how do you believe a person is true?
Sometimes you hear you have to believe in the person, yeah, or something. You'll hear people phrase it like that. And my guess is that that's where Alex is coming from.
And when you say it like that, it becomes super nebulous. There was a great book that's worth getting called Faith and Saving Faith by Gordon Clark.
Absolutely.
And he made a very important point, and he's not coming from our perspective at all, but we agree with him totally on what faith is, the nature of faith. He says, faith, pistuo or pistis, to believe, belief, etc., always deals with propositions, and that means statements. I believe in Jesus, that's one thing. You've got some concept of what maybe you're believing about him, but it's so nebulous.
There's no proposition, I believe in Jesus. It doesn't tell us what you believe.
Right.
And that's the key. What is it that you believe
about?
That is
the key. So for one person over here, he might believe Jesus answers prayer. Another person believes he's God. He was born of a virgin. He gives eternal life.
Right.
In a very real sense, even an unbeliever could say, I believe in Jesus.
Yeah,
I believe that Jesus was a great moral teacher, whatever he means.
Many of the people in Christianity and in the cults are not born again, but they're all going to say they believe in Jesus.
Sure.
And they're all telling the truth because they all believe something about Jesus.
And probably, I would guess most of the time, because we have that phrase, do you believe in Santa Claus? Most people are thinking, I believe he existed. But to believe in Jesus in the book of John, he makes it clear from the beginning to end, and in the purpose statement at the end of the book, John 20, 30, and 31, it says, Jesus did many other signs than these, but these are written that you might believe this information, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing have life in his name. That's a proposition that's either believable or not. But what you're believing about Jesus that gives you eternal life is that he gives the person who believes him for it eternal life.
Now, that's not believing everything he said.
No.
And that's more than believing that he existed.
Of course.
So give me an example of one place in John's gospel where Jesus says you believe in him, you have life in his name.
Well, John 8:24 is pretty important because it crystallizes this point. He's talking to some Jews that day who don't believe in him as the Christ.
Right.
And he says, unless you believe that I am, it's one of the seven I am statements where he's claiming to be Yahweh, Jehovah of the Old Testament. But all the translations correctly add, unless you believe that I am the Christ. And so do they believe that he is, that he exists? Yes, they see him. They can touch him.
They believe he's doing miracles. They believe many things about him.
But our point here is in John 8, these are Jews who know he exists. That's not the issue. But they haven't believed that he's the Christ. That's what gives eternal life.
And you have the same thing in John 4. Because with the woman at the well, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it says to you, give me a drink, you'd ask him and he'd give you living water. Well, it turns out the gift of God, verse 14, is everlasting life. And it turns out he who says to you, give me a drink, is Messiah. And that comes out in verses 25 and 26. She thinks maybe this is the Messiah. So she says, we know the Messiah is coming. And she's basically asking him, are you the Messiah? Yes. And what's his answer?
I who speak to you am he.
And, same thing. Another I am statement.
Yeah. And so, Bob, what you're saying is you need to understand for saving knowledge, saving belief, you need to understand something about the gift and the giver.
Understanding is one thing, and then being persuaded is another. You could understand what Jesus is saying in John 4:10 is you need to know that what Jesus gives is everlasting life that can never be lost. He talks about never thirsting.
That's right.
And you need to know that the Jesus who gives it is Messiah. He is the Christ. So you know that Jesus is the one who guarantees the everlasting life to all who believe in him for that life. Understanding it is one thing. I have lots of people who know what I'm saying, and they reject it, and they say, I understand what you're saying, but that's wrong. But to understand it and to be persuaded, at that point, now I know I have everlasting life simply by faith in Christ.
Right? Well, that's a great distinction. I read an article just this week. I think his name is Sam Harris, one of the new atheists, and he wrote a letter to Christians in the United States. And it was amazing because he goes, I know what you're saying. You're saying that Jesus is the one that if you believe in him, you'll be eternally delivered from hell. He understands it, but he's not convinced it's true.
Right.
And there's a difference.
Yeah.
He knows what the Christians are saying.
And the very moment, to repeat this, the very moment a person's persuaded to the truth of the gospel, the truth of John 3:16, they have eternal life. They'll never come into judgment. And they've already passed from the state of death into the irreversible state of life.
And at that moment, they know it.
They know it.
It's not like they're going, oh, wow, that happened to me, but I had no idea. No, they know it because that's what they're believing in Jesus for. That's what 1 Timothy...
That's the proposition.
1 Timothy 1:16 says, Paul says, I'm an example of those who are going to believe in him for everlasting life.
Right.
And by the way, I've heard people say, I've had people even who come from the free grace circles, and they will say what Hodges is saying and what I'm saying and what GS is saying is you don't believe in Jesus the person.
Yeah, that's the point I was making earlier.
You're instead believing in a proposition. The point I think that Alex is bringing out is a good one. If you believe in a person, you're believing in them for something that they promise or something that they stand for. You can't just believe in Jesus. I mean, the word Jesus is not a proposition. So if I say, I believe Jesus, that doesn't tell us anything. What do you believe about Jesus? I believe he's the Christ, the Son of God, who guarantees everlasting life to all who believe in him. That's a proposition.
Yeah. If you believe this promise biblically, then you know it. You know you have eternal life, or biblically, you're not believing it. Belief and doubt are mutually exclusive throughout the Bible.
Okay, now let's say you believe it today, but tomorrow you no longer believe it. So tomorrow, you're a doubter. Are you still born again?
Absolutely.
And why?
Because whoever believes has everlasting life. It doesn't have to be continuous belief like John 4 with the woman at the well.
Right.
Whoever drinks of this water, the drink is in the aorist tense, meaning one sip and you'll never thirst.
Right.
That's true. Woman knew that.
he who lives and believes in me shall never die? Yeah. Jesus told Martha that. That means if you find somebody who's living and who believes in Jesus, you know they have everlasting life. They're never going to die.
At any time in their life, right, that they've believed in him.
So if you believe today,
yeah,
then what's guaranteed is you're never going to perish. You're never going to die. You're never going to hunger. You're never going to thirst. You're never going to be cast out. But yet, how many people in Christianity say, well, wait a minute, if you're not believing again the next day, that it's not true faith, because true faith has to persevere. Yeah. Well, if that's the case, if that's what John 3:16 means, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever perseveres in believing him until he dies shall not perish but have everlasting life, then when is it true of us that we have everlasting
yeah,
life?
Not till the very end.
Right? In other words, you'd have to die in faith, and at that moment, you'd be born again. So your whole life, you'd be unregenerate, yeah, and then you'd be born again, because you're not born again at a moment in time by faith in Christ, but you're born again by a lifetime of faith.
Which is silly.
I want to say this. Does it mean that you believe everything that he said?
Absolutely not.
Not. I can believe in Jesus for eternal life, but then when Jesus says, forgive your brother who sins against you 7 times 70, I might say, nah, I don't believe that.
Conversely, you could believe 100 things about Christ that aren't saving.
Right.
There's only one saving proposition. Not one time throughout John or anywhere in the New Testament does Jesus promise that our faith is indefectible or that it can't stop.
Right.
But over and over, he promises one instant of belief and you've already passed from death.
Because he's faithful.
In fact, in the parable of the four soils, he says it is defectible. In Luke 8:13.
Yeah,
right. Well, Alex, this was a great, great question. We appreciate you sending it in. We're reminded once again of the great offer that the Lord has given us, that whoever believes in him has everlasting
life. It is believable.
And believe in him, and that's
amen.
It.
Amen. Amen.
And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' great book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, is available half price right now in the GES bookstore, faithalone.org. Go there and use the code word MISUNDERSTOOD for 50% off through March the 31st, 2023. Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are some of the happiest people in the world. If you would like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. Learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, we start a mini-series on the book of 1 Peter. Won't you come join us for the study of this book and what it says about grace? This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.